Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I never use a microphone, so let's see how that works. So Alexander, thank you so much for the very clear and insightful presentation. Also, I want to thank the organizer for giving me the opportunity to discuss this paper. It was a double win for me. First, I got a chance to read the paper. I must admit, I've seen it presented before. And like back then, now I was thinking, why wasn't I the one thinking about looking at impairments other than goodwill and always focusing on goodwill? And second, yesterday I was teaching intangible assets, and then the paper actually provided a very good theoretical and practical foundation to my students. So just in a nutshell, what this paper is actually doing. So the paper looks at determinants of intangible assets impairment, classify them indefinite, definite, and goodwill. And what they find that basically the three categories of assets, they get impaired at different times. Indefinite and goodwill impairment assets, they are linked to reporting quality, whereas less so when it comes to definite impairment assets. However, they are linked to business characteristics, right? And then internal monitoring mechanism enhances the timeliness of impairment for indefinite intangibles and goodwill. Some strong points. I think the paper is probably one of the first, if not the first, largest sample study that differentiates between indefinite and definite intangible assets. It uses a unique hand-collected data set. So kudos, Alexander, and the team for the hard work. And I think it's very relevant in this context because the results directly inform the regulators when it comes to simplifying or reforming impairment testing. I have a couple of common suggestions, but really just see them as adding them in limitation in the conclusion part, right? So nothing that would kill the paper in the end. So my first idea here is, I think the authors are underselling the paper in a way by benchmarking against goodwill. So why I see the reasoning behind, which is basically both grounded in prior literature, given that prior literature predominantly focuses on goodwill impairment. So in a way, provides some sort of basis to think what actually affects the impairment of assets, but also from a regulatory point of view, because this proposal of including all of the other intangible assets into goodwill. However, I think the different categories of assets are economically different. So if you think about goodwill, of course, goodwill is this overpayment, synergies, this residual that makes it in the end very subjective and delayed. Whereas when we think about indefinite or definite type of intangible assets, they are more specific type of assets like brand or patents, right? So overall, I think that goodwill impairment reflects fundamentally different economics from finite or indefinite intangible impairments. Also, when you think, and this was also mentioned in Alexander's presentation, the testing level at which impairments are being done is actually different, right? So if you think about goodwill, goodwill is at the reporting unit and bundles together all the assets that are at the reporting unit, then indefinite is an individual asset where are definite at the asset group. So given that we have this different economic relevance and managerial discretion also differs, should we think or should we expect the same determinants, right? So one idea here, if we think about book-to-market ratio, should we use book to market across all of the three assets given the fair value measurement difference across all of the categories of the assets, right? So one is at the reporting unit, then value in use depending on the type of asset. Empirically, I also think it could be challenging to compare coefficients across the models with different dependent variables because we have basically the effect of different outcomes. So even if the true coefficient of the determinant would be the same, might still be different because the base rate is different, and also because the variance in the outcomes is basically different. So my suggestion here would be to move beyond the goodwill benchmark because I think you are in a unique position to, in a way, give a foundation of determinants of assets, intangible assets, other than goodwill. My second point refers to, does initial purchase price allocation matter? Because you know, initial purchase price allocation would mean the fair value. I mean, it would mean that indefinite and definite intangible assets should be recorded at the fair value, and then what is left is basically the residual, which is goodwill, right? However, in practice, managers have considerable discretion when it comes to allocating purchase price, both in terms of the amount that is allocated to the different classes of assets, but also when it comes to differentiating between what goes in what is an indefinite intangible asset and what is a definite intangible asset. And also there is some prior literature supporting this idea that managers have discretion in allocating purchase price. We have the Zhang and Zhang that basically says that managers over-allocate to goodwill in order to avoid future amortization. Also a recent paper that looks at non-GAAP earnings and shows that when companies exclude amortization from non-GAAP earnings, then they're more likely to allocate to definite life intangible assets. So this discretion basically affects subsequent valuation of intangible assets in the sense that the impairment would then both include the economic deterioration of the intangible asset, but also some sort of correction of the initial purchase price allocation. Table 4 helps because it shows that the discretion is happening at the current moment in a way, but still it could be that the discretion may be overstated because what the paper assumes that basically managerial gaming only begins at the subsequent valuation rather than at the initial purchase price. Ooh. My third comment is this a joint decision, because you also said and you show that it's a joint decision. In the end, it's the same manager that impairs the asset. They have the same information set. They have the same objective function, and so on and so forth. And you also see, in terms of the descriptive, that most of the assets, intangible, the impairments occur at the same time. So probably the errors are correlated. So maybe just a different regression model might have been given that the decision is actually it's a joint decision. I know it's an association, so that's why I said it just basically put them in the limitation. As you know, there might be reverse causality. There are a lot of papers, especially for those variables that are concurrent at the same time, like BTME and reporting quality and so on, so forth, that can go the other way around. Also omitted correlated variable, such as the true impairment, if you want, or acquisition characteristics. So while I don't have a clear suggestion for the reverse causality, for the omitted correlated variable, maybe you can use impact threshold for a correlated variable. I also have a couple of miscellaneous points that you can look over. Maybe one would be helpful. I would like to see more detail on the specific types of assets, so maybe differentiate them even further in brands, patents, and so on and so forth. Also, one alternative story would be that a weaker association with reporting quality might not necessarily indicate less discretion, but rather fewer opportunity for discretion because amortization already decreases the definite life asset quite a lot. Yeah, you can look over them in very good papers, and good luck with the paper being published. Thank you.